Many people thought the Share Your Embarrassment tour was over, but it was just dormant. We are really excited to announce that right now, tickets are on sale for the streaming Cyboctacular. We filmed our Hollywood show last year, and it's going to be streaming starting May 16th and available for a couple of weeks after that to anyone that holds a ticket. And if you have a Max Fun membership, you can get your ticket at a discount. Just check your inbox for an email for Max Fun with that code. If you aren't and would like to see the show, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets today. These shows are really fun. We put a lot of work into high-quality production values. And if you get a VIP ticket, we can even meet face-to-face over the internet. Get your tickets today at greatestgentour.com, and we'll see you on May 16th.
Last time on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Is this the Space Irish episode?
This is the Space Irish episode.
Yeah. Like, do they build a farm on board the ship?
Yeah, they like strew straw around in the cargo bay.
Are there barnyard animals?
Yes.
Oh my god.
I kind of hate this
Adam. I was guessing all of the stupidest things I could imagine, and you're saying yes to all of them.
I actually am going to veto this episode. I fucking hate it so much.
Ooh. Damn it, the thing is, if I burn a counter veto here, it's over. How many more episodes do we have in season two? Like, another 30, right? So I'm going to counter veto you.
No! 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 Are you really fucking serious?
Yeah, let's watch it.
Fuck you.
And now, the conclusion.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica. Stop looking at me.
We are still in my brother-in-law's bedroom. You may hear some sounds of people doing laundry and various house chores outside. That seems to be what's going on here at the house today.
Yeah. You might hear a leaf blower at some point.
Yeah. We are smack dab in the middle of suburbia here. But Adam, behind those white picket fences, it's not all as positive as people present it as.
No, it's pretty dark.
You know that as the star of Blue Velvet.
I do. Yeah. Oh, the stories I could tell you about that shoot.
Well, you know, people might be complaining that we don't have any cards to open up here, but I kind of wanted to talk to you about the Bill Tilly Greatest Gen card trading card collection, which, as of this recording, just had about 15 new cards pop up on Twitter.
It should be called the Tilly Collection, right?
The Tilly Collection. That's on the shelf right next to the Riker Collection.
Right, yeah.
Totally jackable.
He's doing great work.
Yeah, like I keep waiting for it to stop being like the biggest thrill ever when he posts something. It hasn't stopped yet. Like, he totally picks out like the funniest things about every episode and makes captions about them. I mean, some of these captions are quotes from us, but some of it is just like stuff that he noticed is like hilarious. And
I think he has a greater knowledge of our show and its inner workings than even we do.
They're so good. Yeah, if you want to check these out, go to Bill Tilly 1973 on Twitter.
I don't think it's any secret to discuss the idea that we've thought about printing these out on a little bit of a run and offering them up to our listeners. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
That would be really cool. From what I can tell, this is the only thing Bill Tilly is doing with his Twitter account. So that's a lot of fun.
I love that single-serving Twitter right there. It's awesome. You don't need anything else.
No.
It is the guiding principle of a Starfleet base. If you can't find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth, you don't deserve to wear that uniform.
This is an episode that I really wanted to veto, Adam, and you got me back for
my overriding your veto on the last Troy episode, Loxana Troy episode. This is season 2, episode 18, Up the Long Ladder.
It became immediately clear when this episode started that I'd made a terrible mistake. This is like the Star Trek version of the Quiet Man, but you don't get to see anyone punch through a wall. Like, you don't even get that satisfaction from it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I'm going to surprise anybody by saying that when we finished watching this episode, you just said, well, there's another one for Mount Armus.
Yeah, totally.
Spoiler alert.
It has been fun watching episodes with you, like in a Mystery Science Theater kind of way. But at the end of this episode, I definitely just wanted to go to bed. Like, it just broke me down and sort of dispirited me a little bit.
Right. We try to watch the episodes within 24 hours of recording.
Yeah.
And occasionally that's like not happened. Like, I famously hadn't watched the episode that unveils the Borgs very recently when we recorded that episode, which is probably why I seem half insane during that episode.
Yeah.
This one, like, we watched it and we were like thinking maybe we would just turn the mics on and rip out an ep like once we were done watching, and I think it had just killed our spirit. We'd lost the will to live when this ep was over.
Yeah, when I woke up this morning, I was a little disappointed to be alive.
So the episode starts. There's like some tense music playing. The camera kind of like pans around the bridge and lands on Worf, who's just standing there grumbling and growling to himself.
He looks like a guy who needs to take a shit.
Yeah. Worf is holding in a big boom boom, and there's nobody to relieve him at the tactical station, so he's just got to hold it. But Picard comes onto the bridge and calls Riker into the ready room. And this might be the driest cold open that we have yet seen, because
dry like a muffin.
They do, I'm going to say, 5 minutes of just computer research about a ship that went missing a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, and Picard's like, what do you think this sounds like? And Riker's like, it sounds like a fucking cheap-ass car alarm, which is what it actually sounds like. No, Riker's like, it sounds like an SOS, right?
It's an older code, sir, but it checks out.
Yeah, so it's like some type of Earth code, but super ancient, which is kind of an interesting thing to think about, like ancient radio transmissions and whether we'll have records of those kinds of things in the future.
Yeah, ancient to them, but future to us.
Yeah.
As the viewer.
And this is a fun, like, I mean, they give you a little like here's how the Earth progressed from World War III to one world government type stuff, because they like talk about the European hegemony, which is not how I would go about pronouncing that.
No.
It's like 1.21 gigawatts kind of pronunciation. It's like, did you guys not like run this by anybody? Because I'm pretty sure that's pronounced hegemony. So this is a ship that left Earth a long time ago, and they don't have any record of its launch.
They get to do a little bit of research to figure out where this thing is coming from.
Yeah.
But the research pays off. They pretty much set a course towards the planet where they find its destination to be, and they start heading in that direction.
But before they can do that, they walk out on the bridge, and Worf has collapsed in a heap. And Data, like, calls down to Pulaski.
Medical emergency. Dr. Pulaski to the bridge.
One of your pretty standard crash zooms to a guy on the ground and then throw to theme song opens.
So you might think, like, okay, the thing about the missing ship from a long time ago is going to be the B storyline, and what's going on with Worf is going to be the A storyline. But they really, the ship with Worf really like runs its course in like the next 5 minutes of the episode,
right.
And then it's like not really a subject matter after that.
Right.
It's just a dab of Worf character, which is maybe the first time we've had a little bit of Worf character building.
A little dab of Worf.
Yeah.
My little dabble, do you?
Yeah, Pulaski puts him up on the examination table and is like...
Worf takes up that whole goddamn bio bed.
Yeah. He's just running over the side of it. Pulaski's like, yeah, you just had a little fainting spell. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with you, and it appears that you have the measles.
Yeah.
The Klingon measles.
Yeah, which is a real slap in the face to Worf. Like, he doesn't want to be diagnosed with anything. Like, he does a lot of, like, Klingons push through their illnesses, and...
He makes it clear that it's a child's disease also.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, like, is Worf himself a vaccine truther? Like...
Whoa.
Before he went out onto the ship, you'd think... A full panel of inoculations is part of the deal.
Jenny McCarthy has a lot of good things to say about medical science. A warrior scientist.
Somewhere on the Klingon homeworld, like Lursa and Bator are like the famous anti-vax truthers. Oh, so dumb.
But Pulaski keeps Worf secret when Picard radios down to sickbay to check in on him.
Worf was just observing a Klingon ritual involving fasting.
She played it off as the big guy just didn't eat enough for breakfast. So I'm just going to give him an orange juice and send him on his way. Like it's some sort of blood sugar issue is what she plays it off as.
Yeah,
I think.
Which kind of makes Worf look real dumb. Which
yeah.
I feel like he wouldn't look dumb if he was just, like, sick.
Yeah. It's okay for him to be sick, but it's kind of not okay if he's just not taking care of himself in a way that could have an impact on the crew or its mission.
Yeah. So that's a little bit strange. Let's just
Pulaski and Worf sort of bond over her interest in keeping his secret.
Yeah.
They sort of, there's a quid pro quo here in that in exchange for Dr. Pulaski keeping the secret, she asks him to perform a Klingon tea ceremony.
Well, she doesn't ask him. He like shows up with it and she is like so honored. Like, I think he showed up thinking he might need to like talk her through what this is. And she's like, oh, the tea ceremony? Nobody's ever done it for me.
Yeah. And the whole conceit of it is that it's basically analogous to pufferfish tea. The tea is very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's supposed to kill humans if they drink it.
Yeah.
It's supposed to really fuck up Klingons if they drink it. Like, the Rhea is probably incredible.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, the toilets in Worf's quarters are gonna need a damage assessment crew. They're gonna need
a warrior's plunger. The handle of a Klingon plunger is just all covered in sharp barbs and wrapped in wire.
It is a test of one's will to plunge his own toilet.
It's a pain stick with a plunger on the bottom.
Take that thing right down the throat. So, I thought the funniest part of the scene, though, is that he starts performing the ceremony, and she's like, and he tells her, like, you must not drink the tea. And she's like, oh, hold that thought. And she, like, runs off screen, runs back, has a hypo spray, and hits herself with it, announces that she had the antidote. It's like, what? You had the antidote to some poisonous Klingon tea, like, lying on a shelf nearby?
Ready to go.
What the fuck?
Yeah. This scene was everything that's good about what the show does to, like, respect another culture. And it's just really too bad that everything that follows this completely kneecaps that sentiment. Like, it just destroys all that goodwill almost immediately.
Did you perceive the end of this scene to be the crossfade to space shuttle taking off, train entering a tunnel, implying that Pulaski and Worf got down after this?
The oil derrick pumping.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I mean, who knows what's in that tea?
ship flying into a Nagilum.
Yeah. A gaping Nagilum accepting a ship.
A throbbing ship entering a sopping Nagilum. Yeah, it really seemed like Worf and Pulaski banged to me, which I think is great. I think that's a couple that I can really get behind.
Absolutely.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
Instead of crossfading to them banging it out, we instead cut to what we realize will be the only story we have left the entire episode.
Yeah, they've left us the scraps. And
Corned beef scraps.
They arrive at this planet that's called Bringloid 5, and their star is about to go nova. It's about to start licking the planet with solar flares. And they have detected humans down on the planet's surface, but these humans don't have any technology to respond to hails with. So Riker beams down. We never see the surface of this planet because I guess they're like underground.
Yeah, it would have been really fun to see how they live.
But right.
We are soon.
That's not in the budget,
that.
Adam.
Yeah.
Riker radios up to Picard and he's like, hey, like, there's just some stuff that I need to run by you. And Picard's like, we don't have time. Get these assholes on board. And he's like, yeah, but... And Picard just kind of like steamrolls the conversation. And Riker's like, all right, you asked for it. So Picard walks down to the transporter room to see the first party of Bringloidy get beamed up. And it is like a total beam up for comedy moment, because it's like a bunch of peasants with various animals, like chickens flapping around, pigs running around, ducks in cages. They beam up with straw on the transporter pad, which is the only time I've ever seen the transporter beam grab some of the ground underneath somebody. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And the Irish jig music is playing at top volume, which made me wonder, like, did they beam the music with them too?
Right, because it sort of implies that Picard is hearing it before it, like, cuts for commercial. and he gets this look on his face like, what have I done?
This is the beginning of an episode that makes me think that it was written by someone whose only knowledge of the Irish is by watching Lucky Charms commercials.
It is a very offensive stereotype.
Yeah.
It also made me feel like it came from season one. Like, the last two episodes have really felt dusty.
Like, these weren't good enough to make season one.
Yeah.
And they're filling time in season two with the cast-offs.
They're like, we've established something important with the Borgs, and now we're going to rest on our laurels a bit and catch our breath from that achievement in Star Trek making.
We don't want too much goodwill around here. Let's manage some expectations here, people.
Yeah. This is kind of a fun moment because I guess they put him in one of the cargo bays and they go down to like check that out. And Picard just like has a big old belly laugh about how fucking absurd the situation is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to bow to the absurd.
That's pretty fun. Like, you don't see him break his serious demeanor all that often.
Yeah, he's pretty self-aware about how ridiculous it is that his cargo bay is now just floored with straw and filled with barn animals.
We're introduced to the daughter of the leader of this Bringloidy people, who is like your classic brassy redhead who is just sick and tired of men, like, walking around like the entitled assholes that they are.
You don't offer us a bite or a sup, and when we build a fire to cook a little something, the whole place goes mad.
She comes from an even more patriarchal society than the patriarchal society in TNG, which is not supposed to be patriarchal, but nonetheless is. And her dad is trying to marry her off to everybody.
So there's two, like, main characters here that we know throughout the whole thing. There's the sort of lead Bringloidy, who is Danilo O'Dell, who is like the worst caricature of an Irishman ever. Like, when O'Brien beams him on board, he is like wincing in shame at this guy. Like, he's just a total abomination.
Yeah.
So there's him, and then there's his daughter Brenna, and Brenna is like the hot Maureen O'Hara character in this show.
Yeah, and it's not not long before Riker is inflicting his charm on her, and she's like very receptive to that, I would say.
She's pretty hot. She's not just Irish hot.
Yeah.
and Riker notices.
Yeah. Riker notices. She notices him. I mean, she's like barking and complaining and belly aching, and then she notices him, his male gaze upon her, and
And what are you staring at? You never seen a woman before.
I thought I had.
Which always works, right? All you need to do is just stare down a girl.
just be an ogling monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Further evidence of the writers of this show not understanding what a post-patriarchy society might look like.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do get down. Like, this really does cut to a train entering a tunnel and an oil derrick pumping. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty hot and heavy between them.
Yeah, Riker wants to give her a tour, and I think we all know what that's code for. A tour of his dick. And balls.
Just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic so that no one had the chance to interrupt. It was really quite hypnotic.
The other thing that happens in here, which is like I feel like there's an anachronistic television trifecta, which is quicksand things happening, souffle humor, and guy taking a drink of alcohol and having a insanely strong reaction to it.
A cartoonish reaction, like a Jerry Lewis reaction.
Because Worf shows Danilo how to replicate some Klingon booze, and it's the most ridiculous take I think we have seen yet on this show.
Oh, that's what I call a wee drop of the creature.
Yeah, I feel like the director instructed him, you can't go too far with with your reaction to this. Like, like, think cartoonish and then multiply that by 10.
Yeah.
Like, he basically turns to camera, crosses his eyes, and wags his tongue around.
It's so bad.
It's so dumb.
And the thing that drives the story, to the extent that there is a story in this episode, is he goes to Picard and he says, "Did you see anything about the other colony?" And Picard's like, So they find another Class M planet nearby.
Yeah, like the idea is was there one ship or there were two ships?
There was one ship, but it had like a totally insane cargo manifest, which is how they found it. It was all like yarn spinning equipment and advanced computer technology, and they're like, why would you need both of these?
Yeah. And so the idea is that the ship was split into two parts that settled on different planets
in a
totally different way.
Yeah, and one group had this like ideology about back to the land movement type shit, and the other was like a kind of techno-scientific mission.
Right.
And so they find this other planet, which is going by Mariposa, which is the name of the ship, and the prime minister of the Mariposa colony. It's like one of those things where, like, we're going to tell you how this is going, but you have to come down here in person. Like, nobody's going to tell you, give it to you straight.
You know when you were a kid and maybe you got trouble in school?
Yeah.
And like a teacher had to tell you to tell your parents about it.
Right.
I always felt inclined to be like, I never wanted to have that conversation in person. I was like, I got sent home from school early. Why? I'll tell you about it when you get here. Like, that seems to be this guy's deal. Like, we'll tell you what happened once you come down.
Yeah. So they go down and it's like a long walk through a lot of hallways, and they keep seeing people that are identical twins, triplets, quadruplets.
One of these groups is most definitely Party All the Time era Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the close cropped mustache.
Yeah, and he's always going.
Yeah.
I don't think that guy has any lines. I think almost nobody on this planet talks except for
the lead guy.
The lead guy and the health minister who's played by the same actor.
Yeah.
So there are only five people that survived the Mariposa crash, and they've been cloning themselves, and they've gotten in a bit of hot water with like generational decay in the cloning, where it's like they've photocopied themselves too many times to still be able to read the text on the page.
Yeah, they don't look melty and weird or anything. We're just told this later on, that the end of their genetic line is coming.
Yeah. Their thing is, like, they were expecting to be in touch with the Earth, but the Earth basically forgot about them. So they've been assuming that the Earth was trashed a long time ago, and that they're, like, the only humans left. So they're pretty surprised when an advanced starship shows up, but they're, like, eager to reconnect. And they're like, hey, this is great, actually. You guys can help us continue our beautiful clone society by giving us some tissue samples. And Riker takes exception to this rather forcefully and immediately, saying, I don't want clones of me.
I prefer to inseminate personally. A tissue sample won't be necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Clones of me diminish me in ways I can't even imagine, but I'm not against diminishing a lot of you in ways that you can't even imagine. And so they're like, well, we can't help you with that, but we can, like, fix some of your broken computer equipment or whatever. And, you know, we'll try and think about, like, what we can do. Like, we'll send the doctor down. She'll, like, look at your cloning technology, see if she can spot any problems that are obvious to fix.
Yeah, and once again, you have senior bridge crew sent down to a planet that they don't know if they can trust.
Right.
And what do you think's going to happen? This is like the episode after Geordi gets taken hostage by the dumb fat people.
They've seen a bunch of warning signs and totally ignored them. And I think Worf is a little less vigilant, maybe because he's in his refractory period this episode. He's finally...
He has measles and he's just popped.
Yeah.
He's really beat.
I am looking cute as a ball, you will assist us. I am the cute as a ball, you are ball.
Pulaski and Riker wind up getting stunned, and there's this really creepy scene where they're lowering super long needles into their bellies while their eyes are open. Yeah, and they're taking stomach cells, which Pulaski says are the best ones to use if you're going to do cloning. And so they discover that this happened because when they beam back up, Geordi's like, hey, I was looking for you guys. And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I went to the prime minister's office. He said he hadn't seen you. And they're like, well, we were there. And he's like, were you?
Why don't you sit down over there? Do you think the readings from Pulaski's stomach are really bizarre to them because, like, they're getting Klingon in with the stomach samples too?
Yeah, well, she doesn't show the tricorder to Riker or Geordi. She doesn't.
What's
announce
all this Klingon DNA doing in her?
Dino DNA.
Welcome back, Mr. DNA.
First, we take the clones, and then we make more people out of them. They discover that there are, in fact, Pulaski and Riker clones in the cloning facility, and they do something pretty intense, which is, without, like, announcing that they're there or what they're doing, Riker vaporizes them with his garage door phaser.
This is a great scene because they do this almost wordlessly.
Totally.
Like, they go down there, they look at each other, they look at the...
Like, this scene and the tea ceremony scene are, like, the scenes of the episode, and it's like, why did we have to watch the rest of this episode to get these two scenes?
Right, right. It's not quite as chilling and terrifying as the scene in Alien Resurrection when Ripley destroys all of her clones. That was like, those were monstrosities.
Yeah.
And that scene I thought was really affecting. These clones at their stage of development are sort of blank looking.
Yeah, they're like, have you ever seen those videos about the guys in the Department of Defense that are figuring out how to, like, make replacement organs that are actually yours, where they, like, wash all the genetic material out of an organ and then impregnate it with your own?
Yeah.
It's like gooey jelly people that haven't developed into full humans yet.
Right.
But it's a cool scene and a really cool, like, the props are, like, super awesome looking.
It's one of the better sets we've gotten this season, too.
Yeah. Pretty solid. And Maybe they were so focused on getting that right that they forgot to, like, actually have a good rest of an episode.
Yeah. They had a singular focus.
I mean, the props of the tea ceremony were really awesome, too. They really thought that out and made it look cool and, like, kind of alien and unique and interesting.
This, I mean, the set dressing of the entire episode was rad, beginning to end. There totally. Was a lot of work done. Yeah. A lot of care taken.
I guess that's probably why we didn't see the Bringloid planet, because they spent so much time on the Mariposa planet.
Yeah, had to buy all that hay.
Yeah, so the Mariposans are pretty fucking pissed off that their clones got tagged, and the Enterprise is like, we're going to go down and, like, make sure you didn't jack any other tissue samples, because, like, we are super not down with this. And then Picard
Riker and Pulaski got Picasby'd, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, in a way.
Like, when they go down to that meeting, the lead guy shoots him with a stunner.
He's like, here, have a glass of orange juice, you see.
That was just so transparently me setting you up for Picasby.
Yeah, I was going to leave you
entertain
hanging.
Entertain me, monkey.
I was going to leave you hanging, but it's fun for me to do, too. So Picard and Pulaski come up with the idea that the Mariposans and the Bringloidi are actually kind of a match made in heaven, because the Bringloidi need a planet and the Mariposans need genetic stock. So they decide that what's going to happen is they're just going to like drop the Bringloidi off and bounce.
The negotiation is like, look, I know this is a struggle for you to even consider, but
right, cuz the Mariposans have, like, they walked away from sexuality centuries ago. It's not a part of their society anymore.
Yeah, they have a conversation about this, and Riker's sitting across from him, like, physically disgusted by the idea that the man sitting across from the table is like, we think sex is gross.
Yeah, I think that might be the third scene that makes this episode worth the paper it was printed on.
Yeah.
Because that one shot of Riker, like...
Meanwhile, Riker is just stinking of cabbage.
But they
don't send letters.
Yeah. The Mariposans are, like, pretty resistant to this arrangement, but the Bringloidi are pretty down with it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So they beam them down, and the Mariposans, like, go like, well, I guess we'll just have to adapt. And then that's it.
It is, the outshot of this episode is extremely abrupt.
Yeah.
They basically smash cut to exterior planet and ship, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
I think Danilo Odell says, send in the clones, which is, like, the dad jokiest joke that has ever been on Star Trek The Next Generation. Yeah, and then the fucking Enterprise just leaves.
Yeah, yeah, great. That's great.
Yeah. Very strange episode. And
Definitely
skippable.
Like, yeah, no question for me that this is on Mount Armus.
Yeah. If, like, you're watching from home, no reason to watch this.
Yeah. Darmok, Angelad, and
Tanagra. Every morning when I hop out of bed, I get a couple of capsules of my Ritual multivitamin and a capsule of my Ritual Symbiotic Plus probiotic. I pop them in my mouth, wash them down with a bunch of water. And I know I've taken vitamins and supplements that are going to get my body off to a good start. And these are rigorously tested and validated by third parties for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. And they use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. The Essential for Men is the quality multivitamin that I take from a company you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/scars. Start Ritual or add Essential for Men to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/scars for 25% off. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Now, if you're like me, you were born in the 80s, and THC was vilified by teachers and police officers and members of the clergy and politicians, and it really got ratcheted up to a fever pitch. So I think it is fair to have a little bit of trepidation around this kind of thing. But I think for a lot of people, a microdose of a cannabis product is actually a great thing. And if you are interested in seeing why it is so ridiculous that the world went so reefer mad for so long, I encourage you to give Microdose Gummies a try. So get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code SCARVES. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com. The promo code is SCARVES for 30% off and free shipping. Microdose.com, promo code SCARVES.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
I mean, getting back to the idea of your veto, it occurs to me that in burning both a veto and a counter veto, we've set ourselves up to watch Shades of Grey.
We haven't just set ourselves up to watch Shades of Grey. We've set ourselves up to watch the next episode, which is a Lwaxana episode.
Oh, great.
And legendarily bad Lwaxana episode.
We really screwed this one up.
I think you screwed this one up, Adam. I think it wasn't as bad a burn last time around. When I overrode your veto last time, we watched some turkeys willingly in that season, but that was the one to veto, and we watched it. This season has, like, three vetoable episodes, and we could have watched two fewer of them.
Yeah, I feel kind of empty about my choice. I don't feel good about it, certainly.
Yeah. I don't mean to lecture you about the use of your veto, but
we get enough of those, believe me. Speaking of, Ben, did you like this episode? I don't believe you said.
I did not like this episode.
Okay.
I don't like it at all. I like those three scenes we talked about, but it's cold comfort in the face of this monstrosity of television.
This episode was a cancelable offense to me, I feel like.
Right. Like, can you imagine the studio execs checking this one out and going like, yeah, let's write him a check for the next one.
I would like to see where this storyline goes. No one is saying that.
Insane.
Yeah. As you were watching, did you find yourself a Trunk Shimoda?
Incredible!
Trunk Shimoda!
I'm going to go with Pulaski for the tea antidote move. Like, I think Pulaski knew that she was going to bang Worf, and, like, I think she kind of made a pass at him by covering for him in the way that she did. And I think she, like, wanted to get down, like, she was in the club looking for that one-night stand, and she found it. And that's like, I think Jim Shimoda goes and gets what he wants, fun-wise. You know? How about yourself?
That works for me. I did not write down a Shimoda.
I didn't either. I'm just pulling this out of thin air.
But I think I'm inclined to go in this direction for it. I read some reviews of this episode that were unkind, to put it mildly. And then I read some production notes for this episode. And the Shimoda for me are the production people and creatives that still maintain that this was a good episode. And there are a few.
Really?
Yeah. The writer, Melinda Snodgrass, is like, oh yeah, this was a super fun episode. Like, even in retrospect, she's like, yeah, I totally, like, I went for this sort of immigration message. That part of it wasn't as strong as I would like, but yeah, really fun episode. Jesus. The director was, the director, Weinrich Kolbe's like, I just told everyone to like turn it up to 10 and it was a super fun shoot.
Jesus.
And to his credit, Ronald Moore is like, this is a fucking atrocity. This is an embarrassing episode and I'm ashamed to have been involved in it whatsoever. So to me, anyone involved in its production, even when given the gift of retrospect,
yeah,
who feels like this was a good choice creatively or otherwise, is a Shimoda, because that is totally misplaced confidence for me. Like, like, you have a chance to reject it.
Yeah.
Like, I think you and I have made a lot of creative mistakes that we wish we could take back.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with admitting those mistakes.
There's things that we can distance ourselves from that we ourselves have done.
Right. And the stubbornness with which people involved in this episode are hanging on, to me is like, let it go, guys.
Whoa, mama.
Yeah.
I am Locutus of Borg. You will respond to my questions. I am Locutus of Borg. You are Borg.
What do we have coming up for the next episode that we have to watch no matter what?
Our next episode, unfortunately, Adam, is episode 19 of season 2. Manhunt. In her search for the perfect mate, Troy's mother beams aboard the Enterprise and sets her sight on Captain Picard.
Oh, just like 2-minute fart noise.
Yeah.
Well, I did this to us. I'm sorry.
I mean, I could have saved my veto for this, but I really didn't want to watch the last one either. Yeah, well, That's what we're going to watch next. Sorry.
I don't think I'd fault you if you wanted to skip that episode of our show, too.
That's not the rules, though, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Our listeners have to listen to every episode. That's a part of it. All right. Well, so I have many apologies to give.
Yeah. You can follow Adam on Twitter at @CutForTime, and you can follow me on Twitter at @BenjaminRAHR. You can also tweet about our show using the hashtag #GreatestGen.
Greatest Gen is also one of our Reddit groups, yeah, along with the official Maximum Fun Reddit group, which is sort of a best behavior place for you, and Greatest Gen can be sort of an awful sandbox for you to be your worst self.
Let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
Put our reviews of the shows on Wikipedia. That's really fun for us. Somebody started doing that, and that's like the awesomest thing ever.
Yeah, we don't deserve that at all, but we appreciate it.
You can also go to our Facebook group, Greatest Generation. And there are other places online, I'm sure, but yeah, I can't remember them at the moment.
If you feel like supporting the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
And if you feel like helping other people find the show, go to iTunes and leave us a nice 5-star review. Really helps.
Yeah, we're really in the weeds in season 2 here, Ben. So guess we'll just get through. The only way out is through, isn't it?
Yeah. Man, they really piled up the end of this season with a bunch of shit.
Hey, what are we going to do with all these shitty season one scripts?
Make people really think twice about coming back for season 3.
Everyone's already signed a contract, so I guess we got to make them.
Well, with that, we will be back at you next time with a episode of Star Trek The Next Generation that we really wish we could skip. And also an episode of whatever this is.
See you then.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.